Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Father, we cry holy. Your word says in Revelation chapter 5 that the saints of God will stand before you on that day and we will cry holy, holy, holy. But here's the truth. You and I don't have to wait until that day, because as believers in Christ, we have the privilege of being made holy. And none of us in this room, by the way, get this, none of us outside of Christ are holy. Can I just be honest with you? We're all a mess. Really, I'm serious. I'm not okay. You're not okay. Outside of Christ, I'm not okay. You're not okay. I'll never forget years ago at a nursing home. It was the most endearing, sweet conversation when my father-in-law was in this nursing home. He had Alzheimer's. And there was one lady in the Alzheimer's wing. Her name was Mary. And Mary would actually sit, we'd be visiting all the patients, you know, we'd get to come in and sit in this room, and Gail would be sitting there and Mary would look at us, and we had Gina and I and the girls, and Mary would do this: "You're okay. You're okay. Now he's not okay. I'm not okay, but you're okay." It was so sweet. I just wanted to get up and give Mary a big kiss, you know? You're okay. Now he's not okay. Can I tell you, none of us are really okay outside of Christ. We just aren't that good. Now, here's the truth. He is that good. See, if the attention is on whether I'm that good or whether you're that good, we got the wrong good thing going. It's he's that good, and he gives good to me, because we have a what? A good, good Father. And I love him for that. He doesn't require us to have it all together. That's why we go to church. No. Listen, come and be miserable if you need to be. But here's the place to come and say, "Lord, I kind of am a mess at times. And I'm okay with you pointing it out to me. You know, search my heart, O God." It is scriptural. "Search my heart, O God, and show me if there's anything inside of me that is contrary to your plan for my life." And now King James says, "Show me if there's any wicked way in me. Show me." It's okay. It's the safest place, because there's no finger in church pointing at us. I pointed. There's no finger doing this. Can I tell you? Usually if there's a finger pointing at me, it's my own. Because I know, don't I? You know you're not okay. You know you're not okay, don't you? I mean, we all know that, and we know that he's the one who makes us right. And he makes us, let me just give you the full word, he makes us righteous in his presence. There's joy beyond all measure. Why? Because at his feet, peace of mind can truly still be found. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, as we go into this extended time of worship in a baby dedication and giving Owen back to you, and Rachel saying, "Yes, Lord, this is for you. Our lives we commit to you as a family." I ask you, Father, then as we go into the teaching time and we ask ourselves seriously, how important is our families to us? God, as we go into that time, open our eyes, speak new stuff into our lives, and let everyone here know it's not about us. This is all about you, in Jesus' name. Every believer in this room said, amen. Now give the children's ministry a great hand as Pastor Jason takes them back to Children's Church. They are going back to learn all about Jesus. Lisa is back there. Ashley and all of them. By the way, great testimony with Ashley this week. a great testimony of God coming through. You know, there's just times we get phone calls. Hey, would you pray for Ashley? This was Pastor Jason's wife, and got to go through some CAT scans, got to go through some mammograms, and they're thinking they're seeing things, and we've been praying all week. And Pastor Jason texts me Friday, God is so good.
Amen.
He is so good. Give the Lord a huge hand. Will you do that? Yeah. Bill, welcome to St. Charles River Church, buddy. My adopted Vietnam veteran. I love you. I'm proud of you. We love you, brother. Welcome to this auditorium. You are home when you come to SCRC. You know that, don't you? Give Bill a huge hand. Will you do that? Bill O'Brien. You may be seated. I want to just, first of all, isn't this amazing? We've got such a sensitive to what the Spirit is doing. I just keep playing it for a second. Heavenly Father, there's just a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place. It's a sweet Spirit in this place. We're family, aren't we, Jamie? We're just family. And I know many are away. It's Father's Day. I've got more phone calls today and texts. Barry, I'm going to be away. It's Father's Day. I'm going to go be with family. I so get that. That's why there's so many more empty blue chairs today. But can I tell you, you are family to Gina and to me. We're family to each other. When Betty walks in this house, you may not all know Betty personally like I do, but Fran and Betty, if you've seen Fran, you've seen Betty. You know, Fran and Betty are kind of like Jesus when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The twins over here, you know. This is just his family, and it ought to be that way. It really ought to be that way. Father, just bless our family in Jesus' name. Bless our family in Jesus' name. Nate and Melissa are away today. Bless their time in Jesus' name. Scott is away today with his babies, with his girls, 30-year-old babies. You know, Father, just bless them today. Thank you that Rick is here today. Rick is in the house. Thank you for that, Lord, a full hip replacement. Thank you that he's letting Pam sleep, and Pam's, you know, making sure that she gets sleep now, right? Yes, right. Rick is shaking his head. Yes, he thinks so anyway. Hey, we do life together. If you don't know it, you got information this morning that Matthew Thanen was on his way home last night. And, you know, we're always praying for our kids, aren't we? Aren't we always praying for our kids? I hope you're praying for all of our kids, because they're our kids. I don't care if they get big and tall and muscular, they're still our babies, aren't they? James is still your baby, isn't he? That's right. These girls are still your babies. No matter how mature they get, they're still your babies. Well, Matthew was on his way home last night, fell asleep driving at 94 and 364 and rolled his car several times. We got a good, good father, because the car's not looking too good. Matthew looks great. Woo! Yeah, I mean, that Pastor Carl called me this morning to tell me we got a great father.
Amen.
There's Mom sitting up. Mom, I didn't see you all the way back there. I can't see. Past these lights, sometimes I can't see, but I saw a smiling Kelly back there as Matthew's mom. Now, I'm telling you, it brings all new meaning to Happy Father's Day, Happy Parents Day, because God cares about our kids. I absolutely love that. Are you ready to get into the Word? I want to ask you a simple question. How valuable is your family to you? If you got a bulletin, isn't that what the front of it says? It says what? What did I say? How valuable, how important, thank you. How important is your family to you? How many have figured out I'm in the middle of a series called How Important? ... How important is your family to you? The day the Lord has made, and I and my family will rejoice in it, will be glad in it. This is a continual thing that happens in our lives. But I do want to talk with you about this. I did learn a couple of things this week. It has nothing to do with the message, but I did learn a couple of things this week. I just wanted to share with you. I may only share one with you. Be careful if you're entering a one-man restroom. Let that sink in for a second. Just be careful how you speak to the person who pounds on the door when you're ready to come out. Because it's a one-manner and it's locked. Be careful how you speak. When a person is standing outside the door, because it may be Joe Torre. I'm just saying. It may be Joe Torre. It makes you remember to act like a Christian all the time. Not just when you're in church and when it's convenient, but to actually remember that other people that you might someday want to meet want to remember that you said, "I'll be right out, just one second," instead of a grumpy answer. And I was so glad I gave that answer. And I opened up the door and I'm like, "Well, what are you doing here?" Well, wasn't that obvious? I mean, what else do you say when Joe Torre is standing outside the restroom door, right? So I learned, again, I'm reminded, I had learned it years ago, but I'm reminded, people are watching. People are listening. The tone of your voice does matter. And there's no one, how is Barry going to bring this back to the family? Right? You're wondering that. There's no one who knows you better than those who close the door at night in your home and are in the inside of your home. There's nobody that knows you better than those who you actually consider family, those closest to you. And don't they and don't we deserve the very best of each other? And ma'am, when we blow it, it's the best thing to do to say, "I blew it." How important are your families to you? I have to ask myself this all the time. How important is my blood family to me? How important is my church family to me? You see, it's bigger than just blood. How important is our family to us? Now turn in your Bibles. I know you know it well because I have taught from this and I intend to teach from it again. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is how important, let me just share with you. They sure are important to God. So I hope that we value our families as much as God does. I know this is Father's Day message, but this is to every family member. This isn't just to moms and dads. This is to every family member. How important is your family to you? I can tell you, I have stood, and I don't want to be melodramatic here, but I have stood next to caskets of men who died young, and children were standing there by their daddy's casket. And if they could have one more moment, or teenagers that were standing there by their dad's casket, and if they could have one more moment, or their mother's casket, if they could speak just a few more words to mom or to dad. And I've met adults my age, I would give anything for 5 more minutes with my father, or with my mother, or with my brother, or with my siblings, or with... And I really struggle when I hear people say this, because I think, my God, honestly, how out of touch are you with your past? I hear people say, "Well, I have no regrets. I'm leaving this world. I will leave this world without regret." I have a list, alphabetical list of regrets that I have in this world. Because if we actually believe we have no regrets, that means we think we did it all perfectly. And by the Lord, if you believe that, then go on and be with Jesus. If you can't get any better than you've already been, you know, I love this one. "I'm doing the best I can." I love that. "I'm doing the best I can." Really? Go be with Jesus. You won't get any better. Don't hang around and have us tolerate this goodness that's in you, you know. It's time to go. No, all of us can get better. All of us can become more like Christ today than I was yesterday. And by the way, all of us can forgive when someone is striving and striving and striving for the mark, and they really are striving to be more like Jesus. By the way, that person sitting next to you that you've been married to for 420 years, they're not perfect either. And you've figured that out by now, haven't you? Don't anybody elbow their husband. I got a few wives going. How valuable are your kids worth it? Are your grandchildren worth it? My grandchildren and my children are worth. They are priceless. My son-in-laws, my family, my the memories of my mom, they're priceless. How important are we? Well, if they're that important, can I just say, they're more important to God. Because he gave instruction on how to handle our families. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to read about 24 verses, so just hang with me. I don't know where I'm going to start. I know where I'm starting. I don't know where I'm going to stop. And I don't know what I'm going to say in the middle, but I'm going to just talk to you about what God is saying about you and your family and the value of heaven values your family. Do you know that? There's a heavenly value for your family. Heaven sent its best. There was a song that says, heaven sent its rose from heaven. Heaven's best came. That's how valuable you and, I said you and your family really are. Listen to this. These are the commands, the decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you. This is Moses writing, by the way, the first four books of the Bible. Moses wrote, God directed me to teach you to observe the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and your children after them may live. Listen to this. Let me say it again. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. There is actually a biblical promise of a longer life. Now, that does not mean that everyone who gives their lives to Jesus Christ is going to live 420 years. That's not what that's saying. But that you'll have a long life and that you will have a blessed life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. Now, when he says Israel, he's talking about God's people. In that day, they were just God's people. That's what Israel is to this day. They're God's chosen people. But we, anyone that's not a Jew, now a Gentile, all of us have been adopted into the vine. So he is actually still talking to the people of God. And today, that's you and that's me. Because we've been adopted into this bloodline. It says, hear, O Israel, or people of God, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I'm going to stop there. Pastor Harvey came to me. Rabbi Harvey came to me, and he and I had this great conversation about what that statement means. As a Jew, Pastor Harvey has such amazing insight. If you ever want to talk to him about the Old Testament and what special meanings were. When Moses wrote this, what he's saying is, he's just simply making it, declaring it, in your household, as far as we're concerned, he is number one. We'll get around to doing the stuff of God, you know. Listen. Dads, if you don't love God as number one in your life, listen to me. I believe that this is so scriptural. If we don't love our families, or if we don't love God, rather, we can never truly learn to love our families the way God loves our families. Because you see, if we love God, we're going to be prioritizing eternal values for our children and our children's children and their children. We're going to be passing on those things because our priority system is right. We have a due north. Have you ever met somebody that they lost their north? Have you ever used the phrase or heard the phrase used? He just lost his way. Because you see, there is a due north and his name is Jesus. And this is the compass. And the thou shalt nots are the directions. Can I tell you what the thou shalt nots are? And the thou shalts, can I tell you what they are? They're your Garmin. Get the picture, and it's updated. It actually is current. It's a very current Garmin. It's lasted for thousands of years, and it's great directions, and it has a beautiful voice, and it's saying this, come unto me. Come on, come on. It's, you know, you don't have to put that British voice on there if you don't want to. In other words, King James, it can be. But he goes on to say, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. In other words, life-changing. They're not just to be read. God's commands and his decrees, they're not so that, because he's a big old God. You know, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But a lot of people leave it there. It says it's the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end. Because somewhere along the line, as believers, we learn that he is the lover of our soul. Get that? Get that picture. The one that we fear at first, oh my God, you just gave me my last breath, and you're the one who I have to depend on for my next breath. Did you see Pastor Paul? By the way, be praying for Pastor Paul of Joy Community Church. He was laid out here. They called an ambulance to come and tend to him. I just want to, Lord, in Jesus' name, be with Pastor Paul of Joy Community Church. He's laying on the floor back there. Listen, this God, what Moses is saying is hold him reverent and dear because he holds your next breath. Get that picture. He's the one who holds my tomorrow. You know the old songs? He holds my tomorrow. He holds my everything. He holds my eternity. He holds my everything. He holds our kids when they're driving down 364 and Mid Rivers. Oh, my Lord. Lord, I want to prioritize you. You love my kids that much that when I say, Lord, protect my children, I can trust you with that. It's not just a fearful thing. That's the beginning of wisdom. But then we develop into relationship and we walk intimately with him and we hear him saying, come on, son, I love you. Come on. And you hear the voice of God being the greatest cheerleader. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Don't you love cheerleaders? Aren't you moms and dads your kids' greatest cheerleaders? Yeah, we are. I hope so. Yeah, we're so proud of our kids, and we should be those cheerleaders. I know that Rachel is going to be Owen's greatest cheerleader in the years to come. And by the way, Grandma and Grandpa are sitting back there, and I got a feeling Grandma and Grandpa might be the second loudest voices in all of the stands as Owen goes through high school and he has his events. I can just imagine. It says, the Lord God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commands I give you are to be upon your hearts. Here's the truth. If you're married in this room, someone was upon your heart at one time. For those of you who have lost those special ones, they're still on your heart. Probably more today than ever in the past. And God says, I don't want to be second to anyone. Love them like that, absolutely. But love me too. Keep me deep in your heart. Let me be the passion of your heart. And he goes on to say, these commands that I give you are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Modern day version, when you're in your minivan, Mom. Talk about, have 99.1 ringing. I mean, I got a grandson, and he's back there singing, I got a good, good father. He's 5 years old. He's singing, got a good, good father. He doesn't know any other words. But, our kids are, when our kids are singing in the car and they're singing songs about Jesus, and they're hearing the word because the word is in a lot of the songs that are, those old hymns, by the way, those hymns are the word. You know, those hymns are the word of God. If you go back and read some of those things, those are amazing words that were written back then by those songwriters and deeply felt, deeply impacted because they had life experiences. It says, impress them on your children. It doesn't say just suggest them to your children. See, I read what the word doesn't say too. It doesn't say, hey, drop a hint to your child about Jesus every once in a while. Just suggest it at the dinner table every once in a while. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Pass that pepper over here, will you? Hey, listen, if that's how you pray and you're sincere, God bless you. That's great. I'm just saying, it's what God's word is saying is they are to be so heart impactful that your children know, that your children sitting around that table know that the mom or the dad or both that are praying over the food is a God woman, is a God man. You get the picture. And by the way, if you don't have children, if you're single individual and you have family members you're still impacting, and you got us as a church family, right? Listen, let me tell you something. We need you to be family too. We need you to value us and to pray for us as well. And we want to pray for you as well. But it says, and by the way, there's a lady in this room. There's actually two ladies in this room that had huge impact on our children. Huge impact. Mary Ellen was both of our girls had Mary Ellen in elementary school. It was third grade, right? Third grade at Fairmount Elementary School. You talk about a voice. See, we're believers. I said this to Rachel earlier back in my office and up here on this platform. Those second voices, those third voices, right? Those people that are in your children's lives that have great impact along the way, through the years. Now, I will tell you, there's Sherry Songer. Oh, my goodness. Our girls were in her home, and then she'd send them off to Mary Ellen. And then they'd come back from Mary Ellen back to Sherry. Can you imagine? You can think of those other voices. If you think you don't have children right now, let me tell you something. You can speak into somebody else's children. You give them value. You love on them. You be a second voice and a third voice. Be the voice that says, do what mom says or you'll never get out of this bedroom. Love Jesus. It's better. It's better than a lot of other things. Even if you didn't always love Jesus. Listen, don't do as I did. Do as God says. Those are great voices. Second and third voices. I can tell you some grandparents in this room are grazing their grandchildren. And some of you even asked the question, when are the golden years? You're about to see them. When you see those children that are your grandchildren being raised up with integrity, character, and they're going to walk with Jesus in the public schools. And let me tell you, there's no greater golden years than to hear your own children and your grandchildren and their children talking about Jesus. Now that's gold. That's more precious than gold. Don't you think? That's more precious than gold. I'll wrap this up. Here we go. Talk about them when you sit at your home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, talk about it in the day, in the morning when you get up. Talk about it at night before you go to bed. Tell them how much Jesus really loves them. Get the word of God into your kids. Tie them as symbols around your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts or door frames of your houses and on the gates. In other words, anybody that comes into your home, make sure, not because you're preaching at them. I'm not saying that. Everybody understand that? I'm not saying be an obnoxious. You ever met an obnoxious Christian? How come when I say that, y'all laugh? Because you got this picture of this person immediately. This is the person you never want people to think. I've been out with people and said, would you do me a favor and not tell them you're a Christian? Or I've actually told people, don't tell them you go to my to the church I attend. Wait. I mean, listen, if you aren't Jesus with skin on, you get the picture. You remember the story? Remember, most of you know the story, little boy that was scared at night. If you don't know the story, little boy that was scared at night, his daddy, he's a single dad, heard him in there crying. And he, by the way, God bless single parents. Really, in Jesus' name. But his daddy heard him crying in there, so he goes in there and he says, son, what's wrong? He said, I'm scared. He said, why are you scared, son? You know that Jesus is right here. He said, yeah, daddy, but sometimes I need a Jesus with skin on. And so that daddy, knowing what his son needed, pulled the sheets back, slid in next to his son, and he became his Jesus with skin on. How important is your family to you? They're certainly important to God, enough that he gave a roadmap to us as parents. When people say, there are no instructions manuals, can I tell you, that's only for middle schoolers. That's only for middle schoolers. That's when you have to go to the valley of the shadow of death whole thing, you know. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Not you. No, listen, I'm talking about everybody else but you. Anyway. No. But listen, let me tell you, that's when your faith will be tested as parents. Am I right? In Jesus. I'm just saying, life is real. Life is real. But let me tell you, what we teach our children when they're small. What's the Bible say? Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're teenagers? Not what it says. And when they're young men and young women in their 20s, when they're old, they'll not depart from. What that means is you put the right anchors in there. And let me tell you, they may take a grace vacation. They may run hard. And when they get to the end of the rope, boing, and their neck jerks. You ever seen a dog run hard that's on a long leash? And it's running and it's making a break for the doors open at the gate of the fence. Boing, and their body bounces back. Because you see, there's an anchor in their spirit. There's an anchor in their spirit. And it's driven deeply. And I'm going to tell you something. Can I tell you, if you've never trained a dog before, do you know where to put the bowl? Right next to the steak. Because if the food and the nourishment is closest to the anchor, they don't run like that very long. They figure out the place to be is near the food and near the water. And that's how, if we will place the nourishment where the stake is at, and that's in Jesus. If we'll place the priorities in Jesus, our kids may run some, our kids' kids will run some. Who didn't run some? I'm just being honest with you. Who didn't? Raise your hand if you really didn't run. I just want to meet the most perfect Christian I've ever met in my life. You better pull your hand down, boy. I have seen lightning. And I don't want to be that close. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He loves you. And by the way, let me do this, because I rarely see this done. I want to commend all of our youth that love Jesus. If you think I'm saying in any way in this room, if you think that I'm saying in any way in this room that you're bound to wrong things, I don't believe that in Jesus' name. I just don't believe that. I just know what I did. And so I speak real about what my history has been. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. But I speak honestly and tell you it can get bad. But don't do that. Do what Jesus says. And it will be so good for you. And by the way, it'll be really good for your children too. It'll be really good for your families in the future too. Because I always was like, I didn't have a testimony. You know those guys that got up there and did all the drugs and did all the, you know, those guys, I went to Riverview Gardens through 10th grade, you know. I never smoked a joint in my life. I did inhale. But I've said that, all you have to do is walk through the men's locker room at Riverview Gardens and it was like that. I'm not joking, it was just like that. But can I just tell you, seriously, you can go through life making right choices. And Mom and Dad, you can too. Heavenly Fathers, we say to you today, our families are important. I pray, God, that our actions are verifying that. I pray that today, for Rachel and for Owen, that Jeremiah 29:11 will be so real for them. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. I pray for every family in this room, and I am so grateful on the Thanen's behalf. I am so grateful for your hand upon Michael, your hand upon Matthew, your hand upon them and honoring their prayer as parents. I'm thankful for all of the parents that are in here that are praying for your children, and God is honoring your prayer, raising up men and women of God in your homes. I ask you, God, raise up prayer warriors, people of faith, young people in this church, in Jesus' name. Raise them up and make them towers and pillars of faith. In Jesus' name, I ask these things, and every person said, Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.